When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Above gave man an arm of iron so he could do his job and never shirk. The Lord above gave man an arm of iron, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, someone else will do the blinking work. Lord above made liquor for temptation, to see if man could turn away from sin. The Lord above made liquor for temptation, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, when temptation comes, you'll give right in. Oh, you can walk the straight and narrow, but with a little bit of luck, you run amok. The gentle sex was made for man to marry, to share his nest and see his food is cooked. The gentle sex was made for man to marry, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, you can have it all and not get hooked. God above made man to help his neighbor, no matter where, on land or sea or foam. The Lord above made man to help his neighbor, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, when he comes around, you won't be home. They're always throwing goodness at you, but with a little bit of luck, a man can duck. Oh, it's a crime for man to go philandering and fill his wife's poor heart with grief and doubt. Oh, it's a crime for man to go philandering, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, you can see the bloodhound don't find out.
But well, has there anyone ever been luckier in the American theater than the great Moss Hart? You just heard Nat King Cole sing a song from one of the most phenomenal successes of the 20th century in the American musical theater, of course, My Fair Lady, and that was elegantly, crisply, and brilliantly directed by Moss Hart. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here at WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, radiating out of the lovely and today chilly but sunny hamlet of Southampton, New York. Many of you know already that the estimable Lincoln Center Theater is presenting a stage adaptation of Moss Hart's autobiography Act One, adapted for the stage and directed by James Lapine. And the production is spectacularly done, sort of mammoth, with wonderful acting by Tony Shalhoub and Santino Fontana as George Kaufman and Moss Hart. And it details one of the great theatrical autobiographies, perhaps the best theatrical autobiography in the American theater, the rags-to-riches story, the improbable Horatio Alger pluck-and-luck story of Moss Hart, who grew up in a tenement in the Bronx in the teens and 20s and found his way to Broadway fame at the age of 25 as a co-author with the incredible George S. Kaufman of a wonderful play, a wonderful comedy called Once in a Lifetime. Well, it's a book that's very beloved by people who love the theater because Hart's writing is so impeccably good and the story is so rewarding. Let's hear Moss Hart himself from a recording, I think probably in 1960, after the book debuted in 1959, reading a short passage about his early experience with Broadway.
What better way to begin than with my first glimpse of Broadway? One must start somewhere. And if this opening sentence falls too quickly into the time-honored tradition of theatrical memoirs, then let the unwary reader or listener beware at the very outset. These annals are not for those unsentimental about the theater or untouched by its idiocies as well as its glories. There is no point whatever in writing or reading or listening to theatrical reminiscences if either the writer or the listener or the reader is to be hampered by credulity, an aversion to melodrama, or even the somewhat foolish glow of the incorrigibly stage-struck. Like it or not, the credulous eye and the quixotic heart are part and parcel of the theater. For the theater is not so much a profession as a disease. And my first look at Broadway was the beginning of a lifelong infection. I was 11 years old at the time, and already at work after school hours in a music store a few streets away from where we lived. And it might be noted in passing that Broadway to a stage-struck youngster of 11 who lived in the Bronx was just as far away as it would be to a stage-struck youngster who lived in Yakima, Washington. I can still faintly recall my excitement as the subway doors opened at Times Square, and I shall certainly never forget the picture that greeted me as I dashed up the stairs and stood gaping at my first sight of Broadway and 42nd Street. A swirling mob of shouting, happy, laughing people filled the streets, and others hung from every window of every building. Confetti and paper streamers floated down from the buildings, and what traffic there was stopped dead in the middle of the street, with soldiers and sailors climbing happily onto the tops of taxis and grabbing girls up to dance with them. Nor can I deny that my first thought was, of course, that's just the way I thought it would be. In that first breathless look, it seemed completely right somehow that the glittering Broadway of my fantasy should be as dazzling as this even in broad daylight. But what I took to be an everyday occurrence was Broadway celebrating the fact that the armistice had just been signed and the First World War was at an end. I had merely stumbled into an historic moment. It was the first of many disappointments inevitable to the stage-struck. And after helplessly trying to push my way through that solid mass of humanity, I got into the subway again and rode glumly back to the Bronx.
That was Moss Hart reading from his fabulous autobiography, Act One. And we are celebrating the great writer, playwright, and director Moss Hart today on Broadway to Main Street. Well, after his huge success with George Kaufman in 1930 with the play Once in a Lifetime, he was snatched up by everybody. And one of the biggest everybodies on Broadway around the Depression was Irving Berlin. And he asked Hart to write the book for Face the Music, a 1932 screwy musical. It's part musical, part review, really, about a producer who tries to make a musical out of some police scandals in the 30s. And, well, it's way too complicated. Mel Brooks probably did that idea a little better. Anyway, here is a great Depression-era song from that musical, Face the Music. Here is Burl Ives to sing Let's Have Another Cup of Coffee.
Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Trouble's just a bubble, and the clouds will soon roll by. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Let a smile be your umbrella, for it's just an April shower. Even John D. Rockefeller is a-looking for the silver lining. Mr. Herbert Hoover says that now's the time to buy. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. A Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. Trouble's just a bubble, and the clouds will soon roll by. Let a smile be your umbrella, for it's just an April shower. Even John D. Rockefeller is looking for the silver lining. Mr. Herbert Hoover says that now's the time to buy. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie.
A Berlin ballad that captures a fair few moments of optimism during the Great Depression. Well, Irving Berlin and Moss Hart worked so well together on that show that they immediately came up with plans, even though Hart was briefly dragged off to Hollywood, for another review. And the 1933 review they came up with was As Thousands Cheer, which to me is the greatest of all reviews. It was topical. It was, the sketches were hilarious. The songs were first rate. And the idea was that each sketch would be prefaced by a newspaper headline that would ironically play off the text to come or set it up in some kind of fun way. We'll hear two songs back to back. The first is Ella Fitzgerald. And this was a song for a sketch about Barbara Hutton, who had just married a sort of gold digger named Prince Mendavni. And these are all the other princes singing to her. But Ella Fitzgerald sings it, and then we'll segue into Ethel Waters burlesquing the great Josephine Baker with Harlem on My Mind. So here are two wonderful songs from a wonderful show, As Thousands Cheer.
Say, how are the chances of making you love me the way I love you? How many young girls must I fight with to be in right with you? For one of those glances, a glimpse of heaven, I'm longing to see. How's chances to end all your romances and start taking your chances with me? Of heaven, I'm longing to see. How's chances to end all your romances and start taking your chances with me?
pearls in my bracelet, diamonds in my rings, a Riviera chateau and a lot of other things. And I'm blue, so blue am I. Lots of ready money in 7 different banks. I counted up this morning, it was about 1,000,000 francs. And I'm blue, so blue, and I know why. I've got Harlem on my mind, and I'm longing to be low down, and my parley-voo will not ring true with Harlem on my mind. I've been dined and I've been wined, but I'm heading for a showdown, 'cause I can't go on from night to dawn with Harlem on my mind. I go to supper with a French marquis each evening after the show. My lips begin to whisper, mon chéri, but my heart keeps singing, hidey-ho. I've become too damned refined, and at night I hate to go down to that highfalutin flat that Lady Mendel designed with Harlem on my mind. I've got Harlem on my mind, and I'm longing to be low down, and my parley-voo will not ring true with Harlem on my mind. I've been dined and I've been wined, but show as you bone, I'm heading for a showdown, 'cause I can't go on from night to dawn with Harlem on my mind. And when I'm bathing in my marble tub each evening after the show, I get to thinking about that cotton club, and my heart starts chirping, hardy-ho, send me. I've been too damned refined, and at night I hate to go down to that flat with 50,000,000 Frenchmen tagging behind with Harlem on my mind.
The wonderful Ethel Waters from a terrific show that I love, As Thousands Cheer, book by Moss Hart, music by Irving Berlin. Today we are celebrating Moss Hart because of the stage production of Act One that's opened at Lincoln Center Theater, which I urge you to see. If you love the theater, and you love musical theater even, you should go see it. Well, Hart found himself the golden boy of the Broadway stage in the mid-30s, and he teamed up with just about everybody, and he became great friends with Cole Porter. And supposedly they had lunch somewhere, I don't know, at the plaza, wherever you had lunch back then, the Algonquin. And Hart said, I don't know what to do. I know I want to write a new show about the royal family, a spoof about the royal family, but I also want to go on a trip around the world. I'm exhausted. And Cole Porter said, as only Cole Porter could, well, why not do both? And so they booked sail on the SS Franconia, I think it was. Within the week, Moss and Cole Porter and Linda Porter were sailing around the world writing a musical called Jubilee, which featured, among many other songs, Begin the Begin, Just One of Those Things. It was not a hit, but it had a great score, and my favorite song from the score is sort of thematically linked to Moss Hart's life. It's called Why Shouldn't I, and it's sung by a princess about the life she wishes she could have. Here is Chris Connor to sing Why Shouldn't I?
Why shouldn't I
take a chance when romance passes by? Why shouldn't I know of love? Why wait around when each age has a sage who has found that upon this earth love is all that is really worth thinking of? It must be fun, lots of fun, to be sure when day is done, that the hour is coming when you'll be kissed, and then you'll be kissed again. So I feel that it's good, and every star out in far Hollywood seems to give it a try. So why shouldn't I? But from knowing secondhand what I do of it, I feel certain I could stand a closer view of it. So I feel that it's good, and every star out in far Hollywood seems to give it a try.
Chris Connor, one of my favorites, singing a great Cole Porter song from a Porter Moss Hart show called Jubilee. Now, in that song, you could hear that wistfulness about, well, I'm wealthy, I'm a princess, I'm on top of the world, but somehow there's something lacking. And that's interesting. That goes through all of Moss Hart's work, this tension between the fact that money can't buy happiness, but then again, it helps you buy yourself a little bit out of unhappiness. Interesting dialectic. Anyway, Kaufman and Hart are the great comic playwrights of the 1930s. They wrote the book to one musical only, but a great musical. Unfortunately, it doesn't get revived much because it's so topical. It was a spoof of Franklin Roosevelt with a score by Rodgers and Hart. Never really been properly recorded, but let's hear two songs from it. First, you'll hear Jimmy Cagney as George M. Cohan, who played it originally from the movie Yankee Doodle Dandy. Little complicated, but this is FDR's big number in the second act, and then we'll go into a great ballad written for the show by Rodgers and Hart. Two selections from I'd Rather Be Right.
It's really a wonderful job for fellows like George, Abe, and me too. It's great to shake hands with a mob and to hold every kid on your knee, too. Every word that I speak goes into headlines. When I speak, all the papers hold their deadlines. But I've found a way of dropping a hint or a glint of the truth that the boys cannot print. For instance, when I was courting Eleanor, I told her Uncle Teddy I wouldn't run for president unless the job was steady. Don't print it. Strictly off the record. We entertained the royalty, but we were never flustered. We gave them Yankee hot dogs with Coleman's English mustard. Don't print it. Strictly off the record. It's pleasant at the White House, but I'll tell you how I feel. The food is simply terrible, just sauerkraut and veal. If Mrs. R would stay at home, I'd get a decent meal. But that's off the record.
Mm-hmm.
walk to Hyde Park. It's not for just the ride there. It's not that I like Hyde Park, but I love to park in Hyde there. Don't rent it. It's strictly off the record. I sit up in my study writing gags for Mr. Ickes and insults for the gentleman who'd love to slip him Ickes. Don't rent that. Off the record. I scrapped the Prohibition Act when we required a bracer and finished up the Boulder Dam to give the boys a chaser. Don't print it. It's strictly off the record. And for my friends in Washington who complain about the taxes, who cares as long as we can knock the axe out of the axes? Don't print it. It's strictly off the record. I can't forget how Lafayette helped give us our first chance to win our fight for liberty, and now they've taken France. We'll take it back from Hitler and put ants in his Japan. And that's for the record. Good work, kids. I'll see you at 11 in the morning.
It happened. I felt it happen. I was awake. I wasn't blind. I didn't think. I felt it happen. Now I believe in matter over mind. And now you see, we mustn't wait the nearest moment that we marry is too late. Have you met Miss Jones? Someone said as we shook hands, she was just Miss Jones to me. Then I said, Miss Jones, you're a girl who understands. I'm a man who must be free. And all at once I lost my breath, and all at once was scared to death, and all at once I owned the earth and sky. Now I've met Miss Jones, and we'll keep on meeting till we die, Miss Jones and I. I lost my breath, and all at once was scared to death, and all at once I owned the earth and sky. Now I've met Miss Jones, and we'll keep on meeting till we die, Miss Jones and I.
Tony Bennett Well, listeners, have you met Moss Hart? Of course you have. You know his great comedy workings, his writings with Kaufman, George S. Kaufman, the musicals he directed, My Fair Lady, Camelot, many others, and we're here to celebrate him today. Based on the occasion of the stage adaptation of Act One at Lincoln Center Theater. Well, Kaufman and Hart only wrote the book to one musical, but Cole Porter managed to sneak a song into one of their best comedies, The Man Who Came to Dinner. I'll tell you more, but this English gentleman from a rare recording will explain the whole situation to you.
This next song needs, I think, a footnote. It was written by Mr. Porter for the George Kaufman Morse Hart play, The Man Who Came to Dinner. It's sung in the second act by the character called Beverly Carlton, a thinly disguised Noel Coward. Porter's parody of a coward-type song is brilliant. The song is introduced to Sheridan Whiteside, the indisposed hero of the play, by Mr. Carlton, who says, "And now I have just time for one magnificent number to give you a taste of how brilliant the whole thing is. It's the second number from my new review. It's called What Am I to Do?" Oft in the nightfall, I think I might fall down from my perilous height. Deep in the heart of me, always the part of me, quivering, shivering light. Run, little lady, ere the shady shafts of time barb you with their winged desire, singe you with their sultry fire. Softly a fluid druid meets me, olden and golden the dawn that greets me. Cherishing, so perishing, up to the stars I climb. What am I to do toward ending this madness, this sadness that's rending me through? The flowers of yesteryear are taunting me, darling, for wanting you. What am I to say to warnings of sorrow when warnings tomorrow drinks the dew? Will I see the cosmic rips shattered and scattered to bits? What not am I to do?
That was a Cole Porter song spoofing Noel Coward in a play by Kaufman and Hart, The Man Who Came to Dinner. Four great people for only one ticket, which probably cost something like $4.40 back then. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, and we are celebrating the career of Moss Hart. Now, Moss Hart, when he made it big, spent big. I mean, he had a gold-plated tie clip and cufflinks. Garson Kanin said he had a gold-plated cigarette case that was specifically molded to his behind. And George S. Kaufman said, when Moss Hart dies, they're going to bury him in Fort Knox. Well, Moss split up from George Kaufman in the early 40s, not in any kind of acrimonious way. He wanted to pursue his own ideas and his own career. And then he wrote and directed an amazing musical in 1941 with a score by Kurt Vile, and the first time Ira Gershwin had done original lyrics since his brother had passed away about 5 years earlier. It is Lady in the Dark, and our lead character is Liza Elliott, who has these amazing dream sequences that are revealed to her under psychoanalysis. A groundbreaking, expressionistic, sophisticated, mature show. And here is Maria Friedman to sing Liza Elliott's opening number from Lady in the Dark.
Believing in reincarnation, in me you see one who doesn't agree. Challenging possible affronts, I believe I'll only live once, and I want to make the most of it. If there's a party, I want to be the host of it. If there's a haunted house, I want to be the ghost of it. If I'm in town, I want to be the town. me every morning. You've only one life to live. So why be doubting? Let's hit the sun in and gloom to jump in the rib. No use to beat on the dull drums. Let's be imaginative. Each day is numbered, no good when slumbered, with only one life to live. Why let the goblins upset you? One smile and see how they run. And what does worrying get you? Nothing, the thing is to have fun. All this may sound kind of hackneyed, but it's the best I can give. So comes December, so please remember, you've only one life to live. Just one life to live.
She says to her every morning, she's only one life to live. So I be dunnin', let's let the sun in, and gloom can jump in the riv.
What you collect at the grindstone becomes a millstone in time. This is my thesis, why go to pieces? Step out while you're in your prime.
And send him into a blip. Then you're the winner.
I'm off to dinner. I've only one life to live. Just one life to live.
You know, I like that music. Who wrote it?
Tchaikovsky!
Tchaikovsky? I love Russian composers. There's Malachevsky, Rubinstein, Arensky, Yentchikovsky, Sapelnikov, Dmitriev, Cherepnik, Rezhinovsky, Godovsky, Yatubuchov, Moniusko, Wakimenko, Soloviev, Prokofiev, Priyomkin, Goroschenko, there's Winkler, Winkler, Bortniansky, Rebekov, and Yinsky, there's Metter, Balakirev, Zolotarev, and Kosinski, and Sokolov, and Kopolov, Tukhelsky, and Klonovsky, and Shostakovich, Boradin, Glier, and Novakovsky, there's Lyedov, and Karganov, Barkhevich, Panchenko, and Dargumisky, Chervachev, Skryabin, Vasilenko, Stravinsky, Rimsky, Kosakov, Kuchorki, and Grechaninov, and Vlazunov, and Cesar, Kvikalini, Kaprafanov, Stravinsky and Grachanov, Kravinsky and Rachmaninov. I really ought to stop the subject has been brought to Paninov.
Kravinsky,
Grachanov,
Kravinsky,
Rachmaninov.
I better stop because we feel we all have undercut.
Lady in the Dark, which Moss Hart wrote the book for and directed as well, was a huge smash hit and made him, once again, as if he was ever anything else, a very prominent commodity on the Broadway scene. So much so that in 1948, Irving Berlin turned to him again to direct his musical about the Statue of Liberty called Miss Liberty. And here's a wonderful cover, which I just came across, a great duet by Berlin, sung in this case by Dinah Shore and Doris Day.
Have him, I don't want him, he's not worth fighting for. Besides, there's plenty more where he came from. I don't want him, you can have him, he isn't my concern, and he can just return where he came from. I could never make him happy, he'd be better off with you. I'm afraid I never loved him all I ever wanted to do was run my fingers through his curly locks, mend his underwear and darn his socks, fetch his slippers and remove his shoes, wipe his glasses when he read the news, rub his forehead with a gentle touch, mornings after when he's had too much, kiss him gently when he cuddled near, give him babies, one for every year. So you see, I don't want him, you can have him, you can have him, I don't want him, for he's not the man for me. Would look a trifle silly taking him away from you. That was never my intention, all I ever wanted to do was close the window while he soundly slept, raid the icebox where the food is kept, cook a breakfast that would please him most, eggs and coffee and some buttered toast, wake him gently with a breakfast tray, after breakfast clear the things away, bring the papers and when they've been read, spend the balance of the day in bed. So you see, I don't want him, you can have him, you can have him, I don't want him, for he's not the man for me. I don't want him, you can have him,
you can have him, I don't want him, for he's not the man for me.
Dinah and Doris, from a show, Miss Liberty, directed by Moss Hart. Well, Moss Hart's directorial chops were on the finest possible display in My Fair Lady, 1956, with Lerner and Lowe's score. Lerner was in awe of him. He said, on one occasion during My Fair Lady, Moss and I disagreed totally about how a number should be staged. We agreed that he should try it his way first. It was perfect. And I went over to him in the back of the theater to eat my crow. He looked down on me with mock lordliness and said, "Well, my boy, that's the difference between talent and genius." Well, he was a genius, especially as far as Julie Andrews was concerned. He said that she had pasted her performance onto her. He worked with her effortlessly night and day to turn her into not only a great Eliza Doolittle, but a great Broadway star. Here are two songs from the greatest of Broadway shows for many people, My Fair Lady. First, the selfsame Julie Andrews, and a song that Moss loved that was cut from the show, My Fair Lady.
Bed, bed, I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight. Not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. And still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done. Never know what made it so exciting. to be in bed.
You could have done.
You're tired out.
All
night. You want me dead.
I could have done.
Your face is drawn. Your eyes are red.
Now say goodnight, please.
Turn out the light, please. It's really time for you to be in bed.
I could have screamed.
To come along. Do as you're told. Or Mrs. Pierce is apt to serve. You're up too late, please. It's your fate, miss. You can't afford.
Supply them. There even may be a dashing marquis who feature by feature will swear you're the creature he always prayed for, single, stayed for. If you aren't there, his complete despair will be painful to see. So come to the ball, come to the ball. Come to the ball, come to the ball with me. Consider the Lord so frantically bored. He's leaving his kin and becoming an Indian Lancer, hoping danger's the answer. Your innocent glow will dazzle him so that glancing at you will restore his illusions. And as he glances, farewell, Lancers. Should he die, alas, at the Khyber Pass, what a loss it would be. So come to the ball, come to the ball. Come to the ball, come to the ball with me. I can see you now in a gown by Madame Worth. When you enter, every monocle will crash. I can see you now like a goddess come to earth. I can hear the lady's teeth begin to gnash. The little chaps will wish they were Atlas. A queen will want you for her son. Portly men will wish they were fatless. And the married men will wish they were un. What a triumph, through and through. What a moment, what a coup. And off by a wall, unnoticed by all, a man with a smile you could see for a mile will be standing. His dimensions expanding. The pride in his eyes will double their size as sweetly and neatly you somehow completely electrify them. Lorelei them. Search the world around. There could not be found someone prouder than he. So come to the ball, come to the ball. Come to the ball, come to the ball with me.
That was Alan Lerner singing his own composition of a song that Moss Hart loved among all the songs in My Fair Lady, Come to the Ball, from Higgins. But, you know, it was cut, and Moss Hart was ruthless in the best way when it came to great theater. Well, I've had a wonderful time celebrating Moss Hart. He's one of my heroes. If you've never read Act One, it's one of the great theater autobiographies, and it's being done at Lincoln Center Theater, even as we speak, in a stage version. So we'll close out with Moss Hart himself reading from Act One, and then segue into the last great show he directed, Camelot, 1960, with Burton and Andrews, Wondering What the Simple Folk Do. And this went through all of Moss Hart's life, trying to be simple and glamorous simultaneously. And thankfully he did, and thankfully for all of us, we can enjoy his work. Here's Moss Hart himself.
But to the deeply disturbed child, caught in a situation that he cannot resolve, the first wonder of the theater comes as a revelation and a resolution of his unconscious difficulties. Here on a brightly lit stage, before a hushed and admiring audience, are people doing the very things he has played out in his own fantasies, assuming heroic or villainous guises, bathing in the applause and love of a hitherto hostile world. Suddenly he perceives that his secret goal is attainable, to be himself and yet be somebody else, and in the very act of doing so, to be loved and admired, to stand gloriously in a spotlight undimmed by the rivalry of brothers or sisters, and relieved of his sense of guilt by the waves of applause that roll over the footlights to those wonderful creatures on the stage. After all, is not the essence of acting the art of being somebody else? Isn't the craft of the playwright the ability to make a fantasy of his own creation so true to the lives of the characters he is depicting that the audience accepts it as reality? And what is any play but the unconscious expression of its author's fantasy at that particular moment? I would hazard a guess that no play idea is ever completely accidental. And I would hazard a further guess that the temperament, the tantrums, and the utter childishness of theater people in general is neither accidental nor a necessary weapon of their profession. It has nothing to do with so-called artistic temperament. The explanation, I think, is a far simpler one. For the most part, they are impaled in childhood like a fly in amber.
What do the simple folk do to help them escape when they're blue? The shepherd who is ailing, the milkmaid who is glum, the cobbler who is wailing from nailing his thumb. When they're beset and besieged, the folk not noblessly obliged, however do they manage to shed their weary lot? Oh, what do simple folk do? We do not.
I have been informed by those who know them well, they find relief in quite a clever way. When they're sorely pressed, they whistle for a spell, and whistling seems to brighten up their day. And that's what simple folk do, so they say.
They whistle?
So they say.
What else do the simple folk do to perk up the heart and get through? The wee folk and the grown folk who wander to and fro have ways known to their own folk we throat folk don't know. When all the doldrums begin, what keeps each of them in his skin? What ancient native custom provides the needed glow? Oh, what do simple folk do? Do you know?
Once upon the road, I came upon a lad singing in a voice three times his size. When I asked him why, he told me he was sad, and singing always made his spirits rise. And that's what simple folk do,
I surmise.
They sing.
I surmise.
Arise, my love, arise, my love. Apollo's light in the skies, my love. The meadows shine with columbine, and daffodils blossom away. Your Venus called to one, and all come taste delight while you may. The world is bright, and all is right, and life is merry and gay.
What else do the simple folk do? They must have a system or two. They obviously outshine us at turning tears to mirth. Have tricks a royal highness is minus from birth. What then, I wonder, do they? To chase all the goblins away. They have some tribal sorcery you haven't mentioned yet. Oh, what do simple folk do to forget?
Often I am told they dance a fiery dance and whirl till they're completely uncontrolled. Soon the mind is blank and all are in a trance, a violent trance astounding to behold. And that's what simple folk do, so I'm told. Sit around and wonder what royal folk would do, and that's what simple folk do.
Oh, no, really?
I have it on the best authority.
Yes, that's what simple folk do.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.